Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
2 Peter chapter 3. We have Peter's writing here, and he says, "So be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of the wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This portion of scripture is written by a man named Peter. And Peter, he was one of Jesus' closest disciples and really one of his closest friends. Peter preached a litany of sermons, including the very first sermon after Jesus ascended into heaven. So Peter, he's been through a lot. He's seen a lot. God's worked through him. And these are Peter's last penned words to humanity. The last thing we have written from Peter to us as Jesus followers, and these are his words: grow in grace. Now, he could have said a multitude of things right there, because, I mean, after all, he followed Jesus the entire time Jesus was here on earth, you know, healing, teaching, preaching. You know, he saw the entire, the growth of the church in that first century. And he could have said, man, if you really want to grow in your relationship with God, you got to grow in your devotion. If you really want to experience the abundant life that God has for you, you got to grow in your dedication. If you really want to really experience who God is, you got to grow in your dedication, in your endurance. He could have said a lot of things, a lot of biblical principles, but he ends his letter with this: grow in grace. That's what we're going to talk about today. The title of today's talk is Forgive and Forget. Let's pray. God, we ask you right now, in these few moments that we spend unpacking your word and looking into your message to us as humans, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would show us Jesus, because we know your word says when we see Jesus, we'll be transformed from the inside out and we'll be like him, for we see him as he is. God, we ask you to open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive everything you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I recently got engaged. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm really, really excited. And I met this girl who's the most smart, beautiful, fun-loving, kind, gorgeous. I'm going to stop there because we're in church. Girl in my entire life. I mean, she's amazing. And I'm really excited. But one thing I've noticed since I've got engaged is there is a whole lot about marriage that I have absolutely no clue. Anyone else who are married people, like, you thought you knew a little something, but when you get into it, like, you know, you hear all the things growing up, you get all the advice, and you say, oh, trust me, you'll understand one day. And I'm beginning to start to understand. Like, I know I have a whole lot to really dive in and really grow in. But one of the things that I've noticed right off the bat is Alicia and I's style of communication is not the same. We don't communicate the same way. We do have a similar sense of humor, but she is extremely detailed and extremely organized, at least in her personal life. Like her house is immaculate always at all. She's always cleaning, you know. And me, I'm not that detailed. I'm not that organized. And I'll be honest, I'm like a bottom line guy. I'm the kind of guy where you get the IKEA furniture in the mail, and you don't need to read the instructions because it's three parts and an Allen wrench, right? But then you're stuck there 3 hours late and you're like, how could this be so complicated? And so anyway, so there was one time where we were hanging out at her house and we were making brownies because that's what you do on a Saturday afternoon in North Bossier. And me, like, I'm a bottom line guy again, you know, and so I'm there and I'm like, and she's over in the other room cleaning something or organizing something, and I'm asking questions about the brownies. You know, the directions are right there on the back of the box, but, you know, I'm a bottom line guy, you know, I don't have time to read instructions. So I'm asking instructions and she's, you know, chanting, you know, all these directions at me. And we get it all said and done. The brownies turned out great. We're on the couch. We're eating, we're watching Netflix, eating brownies. And they, and I didn't miss any ingredients. So, you know, hey, God is good. And, but about an hour in, we're in the middle of our show and she goes, it's getting a little hot in here. And I'm like, girl, you know it is. And she's like, no, shut up. It's not like that. And so she begins to frantically search for like this heat draft that's in the house. And lo and behold, I had left the oven on. I had missed the very last instruction that she gave me, went right in one ear, out the other. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that this was an isolated incident. I really wish I could tell you that this hasn't happened more than 6 times. But I can't do that, you know? I have this propensity to miss that last step and just leave the oven on, leave burners on, and now she's really questioning, you know, do I really want to marry this guy? He could potentially burn down my house one day. I'm kidding. But at least I hope. But you see, the Bible's just like that. You know, we just spent this entire series, Lego Life, where we learned about how we take the words of Jesus and we build block by block this house, this life, this abundant life that God intended and created for us to enjoy. But if we're not careful, if we miss the last step, the last instruction, we can have every piece in the right place. We can do all the right things, say all the right things, and we can build this perfect life that God intended for us. But if we're not careful, if we miss the last step, we could potentially have the whole thing burned down, just like the oven. And so here we have Peter. He's given us his last words. He says, grow in grace. But these aren't just Peter's last words. In fact, the very last words in Scripture in Revelation 22 in verse 21 says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. You see, it's this whole concept of grace. It's so magnanimous, it's so big, but it's the thing that caps everything off. It starts with grace and it ends with grace. It all surrounds around this concept of grace. And grace is a multifaceted subject. And we're only going to talk about 2 things today pertaining to grace, and that is forgiving and forgetting. So we're going to start with forgive. If we want to grow in grace, if we want to be sure that this house that we built stands firm, we have to be sure to forgive. But, you know, a lot of times when we talk about forgive, you know, you got to forgive your neighbor, forgive your spouse, forgive your friend. Today, I want to talk about forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself. You see, Ephesians chapter 1 says this in verse 7, he is so rich in his kindness and grace, he purchases our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. You know, if you grew up in the South or in church, you know, you might be familiar with this concept and definitely mentally agree, yeah, God forgave me. Yes, I got forgiveness because of Jesus. But can we be honest? When we sin, when we mess up, when we fall short, a lot of times that belief kind of gets shaken. We say, oh, man, I thought I was better than this. Gosh, why do I keep on struggling with this habit? Why do I keep on making this mistake? Why can't I ever get this right? And then that over time becomes condemnation and shame and guilt. And we begin to heap this shame on us. We say, gosh, I'm such a failure. Gosh, I'm never gonna get this right. Gosh, I'm such a screw up. God, I have such a hard time. That very same sin that I said last Sunday, I'm done with. I said, God, I'm done with it. I'm following you. And by Tuesday, I was flipping birds on airline drive. Like, I mean, God, why can't I shake this habit? Why can't I get rid of this? We begin to beat ourselves up. Say, we're never gonna get free of this. We're never gonna shake free of this habit. But here, I'm here to tell you today that God's opinion of you isn't fickle because of your performance. God's opinion of you is fixed because of a person, and his name is Jesus. You know, whenever we were forgiven of our sins, our slate wasn't just wiped clean. God actually came in and gave us a new identity. He gave us something even more sure to hold fast to. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, "For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him." You see, God's not wanting you to take ownership of your sin. God's not wanting you to take responsibility for your mistakes. Jesus took ownership of your sin. Jesus took ownership of your mistakes, and he wants you to take ownership of his righteousness. He wants you to take ownership of this new identity, this identity of grace, and that enables us to stand before God because Jesus took my sin, so he gave me his righteousness. Now I stand before God with a new identity, free of guilt, free of shame, which propels me into a life living free from the power of sin. There's this story in John chapter 8, and there's the church leaders of the time catch this woman in the act of cheating on her husband. Which makes you wonder, like, what are they doing, you know? Like, where are they at? But the church leaders catch this woman cheating on her husband. They take her to church, because that's the place you take women who just got caught cheating on their husband. They throw her in the middle of the room. Jesus is preaching that day, and he is mid-message. It'd be like me, you know, I'm up here talking right now, and they just bust through the doors. You can imagine how awkward this would be, right? And so they throw this woman in the middle of the room, just got done cheating on her husband, and they said, "Jesus, this woman broke the rules of our religion, and she deserves to be punished. What do you say, Jesus?" Jesus kind of steps back. He says, "Whichever one of you has never messed up before, you can punish her." And one by one, they left, of course, because they had all had fallen at some point in time. They all had sinned at some point in time. And Jesus was the only one left in the room at the end. And he said this in John chapter 8, verse 10, "Dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" Looking around, she replied, "I see no one, Lord." Jesus said, "Then I certainly don't condemn you either. Go now, and from now on, be free from a life of sin." You see, Jesus isn't against you when you mess up. Jesus isn't mad at you when you sin. God isn't distancing himself from you whenever we fall short. In fact, it's the polar opposite. God is actually running to us. God is actually ready to embrace us and actually fight for us. 1 John chapter 2 says this, "I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ." Jesus is the advocate of the sinning Christian. He says, "If any of you do sin, we have an advocate." And if you're like me, you're like, "That's so good. What's an advocate?" So I looked it up. Definition of an advocate is a person who speaks or writes in support or defense of a person. A person who pleads the cause of another in court of law. Jesus is defending you even whenever you fail. Jesus is there to speak on your behalf even when you mess up. You see, Jesus is for you even when you sin. It's more than just about the rules of a religion. It's far more than that. It's about a relationship with a Redeemer. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Because it says whoever believes in him, not whoever behaves. You see, the temptation of religion is to put our belief in our behavior and not in our benefactor. You see, this whole thing about religion, this verse right here, it's actually one of the most famous verses in all of Christendom. You can find it on hundreds of billboards, thousands of bumper stickers, tens of thousands of t-shirts. You can even find it on the bottom of your In-N-Out containers where you get your fries. A little life hack for you. This is not a sponsored sermon. But this whole concept of eternal life, Like, we get it. Like, we hear it and we say it, you know, in church. Yeah, eternal life, you know, believe God. Which, and if we're not careful, you know, we can skip other words of Jesus and put our own definition of what eternal life means. Well, if I believe in Jesus, it means when I die, I'll go to the sweet by and by. You know, whenever I move from earth, it means I move to heaven. And that's true. That's a part of it. But that's not really the encompassing fact of what eternal life is. If only we had a definition from Jesus that actually told us what eternal life is. John 3:17 says this. Now this is eternal life. Hey, there it is. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, Jesus says this. This is eternal life. This is what it's all about. Knowing God, having relationship with God. It's what the whole thing is all about. But you say, yeah, but what about my behavior? What about my sin? What about this habit? What about this tendency that I'm trying to get this thing right in my life? Relationship alone isn't going to fix it. But you know what happens whenever we lean into a relationship with God? When we lean into his word, when we lean into times of prayer, when we lean into moments of worship through song, we actually begin to become a little bit more like him. God begins to rub off on us, and we begin to think like him. We begin to act like him. We begin to talk like him. This is the whole concept of relationship. You know, whenever I first started hanging out with Alicia before we got engaged, I noticed she's a very, very vocal person. She's Italian, which I love. That's why I'm marrying her. And so, and one thing I realized right off the bat is whenever she's affirming you in a conversation, she does this thing. She goes, yeah, 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 yeah. And I love it. It's my favorite thing. And I found myself about 3 months after hanging out with her that I was in a separate conversation. Alicia was not present. And I was vocally affirming someone in a conversation. And just out from my heart came, yeah, 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 yeah. But I didn't work that up. I didn't make that decision when I woke up in the morning and said, you know what? Today, I'm going to speak like Alicia. No, she rubbed off on me because I've spent so much time with her. When we hang out with God, when we embrace relationship with God, don't be surprised when his thoughts, the way he sees things and the way he acts begins to rub off on us. That's what it's all about. It's about relationship. Which is why we're doing this entire summer series in June and July, Friend of Sinners. And the tagline for that series is, why God cares more about relationship than perfection. See, God's after a relationship with you. He's not after your behavior. That'll be a byproduct. He wants to know you. He wants to get in relationship with you, and he wants you to get to know him. If we're gonna grow in grace, we have to learn to forgive ourselves, but also, if we grow in grace, we're also going to need to learn to forget, forgive and forget. Today, I want to talk about forgetting yourself. Philippians chapter 2 says this, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. You see, we are either helping or we're hindering. We are either helping people see Jesus or we are hindering people see Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, there's this story of this man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, he extorts people out of their money. He embezzles money. He makes a lot of money. He's a very rich man. He's like a modern day mob boss. And he makes a lot of money by taking advantage of other people. And in Luke 19, it talks about how Jesus was strolling through this town named Jericho, and Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because Zacchaeus was a little vertically challenged. He was, like 4'7", 5'3", I don't know exactly, but the Bible says he was short, and he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. And isn't it interesting that the person who so desperately wanted to see Jesus couldn't see Jesus because of the people who were following Jesus? And a lot of times, if we're not careful, our pursuit of Jesus, our what we call following Jesus, can actually become a hindrance to people seeing Jesus. Well, what does that look like in our life? Well, if we take our entire life and we form our lives around our groups and Bible studies and the Christian gatherings, which are all good and all have their place, if that's all our life and we have no time in our schedule to have dinner with the coworker who has never, you know, entered into a relationship with God, to host the neighborhood barbecue where the people who are living on your street, who have never experienced the love of God, can never have that opportunity, where we never have time to actually dine with the people who need to hear about Jesus the most, then are we missing the point? You see, the person who we claim to follow, Jesus, spent a lot of time at dinner tables and at restaurants with notorious sinners. The Message version says people of questionable reputation. And you see, if we're following Jesus, but our life doesn't actually look like Jesus in that facet, then how close are we actually following Jesus? You see, we have to forget ourselves if we want to actually follow Jesus. One of the things that we're going to have to forget if we want to follow Jesus is we're going to have to forget our traditions. We're going to have to forget our traditions. There's this one portion of scripture where the Pharisees in Matthew, this is in Matthew chapter 15, the church leaders of the time, they come to Jesus and they have a complaint because Jesus's disciples are not washing their hands the way that the Pharisees expect Jesus's disciples to wash their hands. So they come up to Jesus, they say, Jesus, your followers, your friends, your disciples, they're not washing their hands right. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 15. He says, you have elevated your tradition above the words of God. They miss the point. You see, it's not wrong to have a preference. But when our preference goes over people, when our opinions outweigh people, when those things get in the way of people seeing and experiencing the love and the grace of Jesus, people that are hopeless, people that are hurting, people that need a hand, and those opinions, those preferences get in the way, then we got a problem. See, people always come over our preferences. Here, he's saying that they've elevated their traditions above the words of God. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can elevate traditions above God's word. And we traditional throw stuff in our minds like, well, hey, why didn't he take his hat off when we prayed? Or why is she leading a group? She has tattoos. Or he can't do anything for God because he doesn't belong to my political party. Or what is she doing preaching? She's a woman. And we throw all these things in here and our preferences build up and we say, oh, no, God can't ever go work in that. God can't ever use that. God can never reach people through that because our preferences have become elevated above the words of God and become a hindrance to people receiving hope and healing. Another thing that we need to forget, if we're going to forget ourselves, is we need to forget our prejudice. Forget our prejudice. Humanity, as long as it has existed, has dealt with prejudices in some degree or some or another. You know, sexism, racism, elitism. And yes, in this country, we have come leaps and bounds, and we have a long way to go. But these are things that, you know, humanity deals with. But every Jesus follower, to some degree, at some point in time, does deal with a prejudice. And it's a prejudice against people who don't behave in accordance with our convictions. We look at people who are living however they want, not after God, not following the biblical principles, and we say, we develop a prejudice against people who aren't following Jesus. You know, we say things like, gosh, I can't believe my coworker acts like that. Gosh, I can't believe my family member uses that kind of language at the family reunion. You know, I can't believe that the movie that they're in, I can't believe the song to the lyrics that they wrote, I can't believe that the law that they passed. Such awful people. And we build up these prejudices against people. And then we begin to subconsciously hold people's sin against them. And then we begin to rant on social media. And then we begin to boycott companies. And in turn, we alienate ourselves from the people who need the love of God the most. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this in verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ Jesus, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Restoring the world to favor with himself. Not those who would believe in Jesus, not those who would one day put their trust in Jesus. No, God was in Jesus restoring the world to favor with himself, not holding up. Not counting up or holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them out. Let me ask you a question. If God is not holding the sin's world against the world, but has canceled them out, then why do we feel like it's our right or our obligation to hold the world's sin against the world? No. No, we have to forget our prejudice. You know, a lot of times we can develop this belief that people really do belong in this community, this thing called church, because of the way they believe. And we can prove the way they believe by the way that they behave. And if they don't really behave, it means they don't really believe. And if they don't really believe, well, then let's be honest, they don't really belong. But really, that's opposite to how Jesus embraced humans. Jesus came and he encountered those who were disenfranchised, those who were ostracized, those who were marginalized and pushed aside in society. He said, no, you come follow me. You belong. And they doubted him many a times. And eventually they said, you know what? I actually believe. And then they messed up a lot, right? Peter, the guy who wrote that first scripture we read, was one of Jesus's most avid followers. And at the night that Jesus was betrayed, he denied Jesus. He denied ever knowing him. He said, I don't know that guy. That weird carpenter from Nazareth? Nah, never met him. Denied him. Yet, Peter went on to do amazing things, and God used him and worked through him. You see, we have to forget our prejudice. People belong way before they believe. And they'll believe way before they behave. Behavior is a result of the belief, and the belief is a result of belonging. You know, you say, but Jared, the world, this sin in the world, it's so dark. It's so dark. You might be right. But you know, the Bible talks about the darkness of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless. It was empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, dang, whew, it's dark. The world is so dark. Gosh, it's so vile and filthy. It's so me-less. I just can't stand it. I gotta go to the throne room and just be by myself, me and my holy huddle, because the world is just so dark. No, we see actually God, the Spirit of God hovering close to the darkness. And then God stepping onto the scene says, I'm not okay with the world not having a form, not having a purpose. I'm not okay with it being empty, lacking satisfaction. I'm not okay with the darkness, so I'm gonna speak light. He says, God spoke light. He spoke hope. He spoke healing. He spoke restoration. He spoke grace. See, God wasn't okay with the darkness staying dark. So he engaged the darkness with his light, with his hope, with his goodness, with his grace. And today, you may say, you know what, Jared? My life is looking pretty dark. You know, God is not distant from you because of the darkness that you wrestle with. God is not distancing himself from you because of the sin that you struggle to overcome. God is not mad at you or disappointed with you because you have yet to break a habit. No, God is for you. He's there with you. He's in the thick of it with you because he believes that you can walk through into victory. He believes that you can persevere. He believes that through his grace and through his goodness, you can actually experience the life that he came to give you. But it's going to come through his grace. You see, it's not about performance, but it's about the person. You see, we started this series, this sermon, with the last scripture in Revelation, with the last scripture in the Bible. It was this, that the grace of Jesus be with you all. And at the beginning, we see here that darkness has covered the earth and God spoke light. You see, from beginning to end, from start to finish, and laced all the way in between it was God's plan of grace, God's plan of forgiveness, God's plan to show humanity how good, how loving, how compassionate he was, and how as far as humanity would fall, he would not be moved. He would not be changed. He said, you know what? As far as you go, I'm going to go. And so he sent Jesus to take on all of the world's sin, not part of it, not the sin that you've already committed, but the sin that you are committing and will commit. All of it's been placed on Jesus. And if we just put our trust in him, if we just put our faith in him, he will begin to work in us a relationship on the inside. We can begin to find satisfaction in life, find purpose in life, and engage in a relationship with a living God. And in turn, we find a life that we began only dreamed of living, a life where we're not lashing out at the people who are angry with us, but we begin to forgive. We begin not to be angry with the bank teller that's taking forever. We begin to be kind, and we actually invite them, hey, you should come to the barbecue that I'm having at my house. You would love it. I have a great group of friends. That's what it's all about. Will you stand with me? Wherever you find yourself today on this spectrum, maybe you've started off in this journey called grace. You've started off, you said, you know, I've experienced this life with Jesus. I've experienced this grace with Jesus. I've experienced this forgiveness, but I gotta be honest, I keep on messing up. I've been trying to practice these principles and I just am having such a hard time. And I keep on beating myself up. I keep on saying, gosh, am I ever going to get it right? Am I ever going to break free of this? Am I ever going to begin to really experience this freedom that Jesus said he came to bring? Is it ever going to happen? Or maybe you find yourself and you've experienced relationship with Jesus and you begin to follow Jesus so close and get so tight with Jesus that you begin to begin this egotistical search of more biblical information and got caught up in this narcissistic pursuit of theological ecstasy. And you've become completely jaded and distracted from the people who are on your street, who are in your city, who are in the adjacent neighborhood, who need help, who need the love of God. Maybe that's you. Or maybe today this is just you hearing that God loves you for the first time. You've never heard that God wants to have a relationship with you. He just only expected behavior out of you. He just expected obedience out of you. You never knew that, wow, God, he wants to talk with me? He wants to actually get involved in my life? Wherever you're at on that spectrum, wherever you're at, I want you to know that God is for you today. Will you bow your heads with me? If that's you, you say, you know what, Jared, I've never heard this gospel. I've never heard this thing called grace. I've never heard that this living God wants to actually have a relationship with me, that he wants to engage in a conversation with me and actually be a part of my life. I thought he just demanded obedience out of my life. This is something new. I want to receive this forgiveness that Jesus offers. I want to receive this forgiveness. I didn't know that God came and actually has bore my sin, that he actually took it from me and that he gave me a new identity, a new place to stand, a place of grace and a place of righteousness, a new identity. I had no idea. I want that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. No one looking around. This is a decision between you and your creator. I want you to lift your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Now, maybe this is you, and maybe you follow Jesus for years at a time, but you struggle. You've just had a hard time breaking free of that addiction, breaking free of that sin, breaking free of that habit. You say, you know what? I've been trying so hard, but I had no idea that my freedom was actually found in a relationship with God. I thought I was willpower, and if I built all these principles and I could work and do it, I had no idea that this performance was actually holding me back, but it was the person that I needed. I needed a relationship. I want you to lift your hand right now. You say, I need a relationship with God. I need to engage in that. I need to pursue that. I need to stop just looking for the information and actually get into a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you have been following Jesus and you got so close to Jesus that you became a little narcissistic and you became a little egotistical. And you said, you know what? My pursuit of biblical information has become a hindrance to my neighbor seeing Jesus. I've actually filled up my entire time, all my schedule, just doing things with Jesus and pursuing after Jesus that I actually forgot to stop and lend a helping hand to my neighbor. If that's you, you say, I'm done living that life. I'm gonna make time in my schedule for my coworkers. I'm gonna make time in my schedule for the neighborhood barbecue. I'm gonna make time in my schedule to dine and to lend a helping hand. I'm gonna forget myself so that I can help be a help to people seeing Jesus. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Awesome. Glory. Will you pray this with me? God in heaven, I ask you to forgive me. I look to the grace of Jesus today. I lean on the grace of Jesus today. I need the grace of Jesus today to fill my life. I need a new start. I need my slate to be wiped clean. I need you in my life. Fill my life, God. Fill my heart. In Jesus' name. Now, God, I pray for each and every single person in this room. No matter where they're at on this spectrum, God, whether they're pursuing you, have never thought about pursuing you, or God, maybe they've pursued you so close that they've etched out, ruined their schedule for anyone else. God, wherever they're at on the spectrum, God, I ask that you would show them your grace, show them your kindness, show them your goodness, so that way we can actually see Christ-centered, culture-changing community developed, formed, and flourishing in this city, in our state, in this nation, and around the world, for every person, every skin color, every social standard, God, every place, God, filled with your grace and your goodness, in Jesus' name. If you believe that, will you give God some praise today?
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.